Good morning, everyone. Today is Thursday, August 30th, 2018. It is 9 a.m. and we're gathered in the BCC conference room for the county administrative workshop. Item President is Commissioner Hare, Commissioner DeYoung. Item number 1A is under legal, and it is order number 2018-061 in the matter of the sale of county land remaining unsold following the sheriff's auction of May 30th, 2018. Memorandum of contract sale and land sale contract.
Good morning.
Helene.
Yes.
We have
a piece of property down in Cave Junction that has been on multiple auctions. We have received an offer on that to purchase the property for $27,000 on a land sale contract. So I would ask to approve this and move it forward to be signed at the weekly business session next week.
Does that meet our minimum? We have a minimum on all properties.
It does. It does. Okay. It was near to what we were asking for the minimum bid price.
Okay.
So we've got a little bit of wiggle room, and it's slightly lower than what we had asked
just
for
a half
bid,
or
but
something like
no,
that. Okay.
No. No, I think our minimum bid was 29.
Oh, okay.
No, it's 27.
The board actually has full discretion to negotiate any price they want. There's no required minimum sales price. And even the minimum sales price is at the discretion of the board when we move it to an auction and say the minimum bid is X or Y.
Right.
We're going to be putting together a list for the fall and have a group of people who will propose refining the list later this week or early next week before the board sees it. But after a sale, the board has full discretion. If it's a property we want to get rid of, and somebody offers $5, and we want to get rid of it, there's full breadth of discretion there. So.
And the reason it's on the auction is because we want to get rid of it. I mean, we need
this one's been on several times.
Not lose sight of that, but this one's been on. You said
it's kind of a headache if we have people who are using it as unintended use and stuff, squatting and such. We want to get rid of it. So.
Okay. Where is the property? Is it in town at Cave Junction or out?
It is.
It's
on First Street, and it's a lot that had a mobile home on it in the past. So it's
a developable it's a place people could put something. So.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Commissioner Morgan, we're just talking about item number 1A, which is we got an offer on a piece of property that was unsold at the sheriff's auction. It's been on the auction.
We talked about this one.
Previous time before.
Session, so
we have an offer on it.
Up to speed on it. Great. Thank you very much.
Okay. We'll move that forward to.
Yep. We'll move that forward to the WBS next Wednesday, if that's okay. Is our business session in Cave Junction next week?
No.
The 12th, but I don't. That's a hard one. There's other stuff going on that day to get to Cave Junction. Will be challenging. That's right.
That's a next week problem.
It's a 12th problem. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's just move forward to the WBS. Sooner the better. Well, no matter where the meeting is, we'll just make sure it's on there.
Thank you.
Item 1B is acceptance of warranty deed from David Blair McIntyre and Lynn McIntyre to Josephine County, Oregon, for a property at 980 West Park Street, Grants Pass.
That is correct. So at the last business session, the board approved the purchase and sale agreement and the lease from Blair McIntyre. This is, we have moved forward to the warranty deed. He has signed off on the warranty deed, and we've got the paperwork to complete the sale. So we are just asking for the board to accept the warranty deed and with a closing of tomorrow.
Okay. Any questions on that? Commissioner Morgan?
No.
Okay. Then we'll just move that forward to the admin. Or to the
no,
WBS.
I think we've done everything formally at the WBS we need to. So
yeah.
If a motion is necessary now to accept the warranty deed, or I haven't purchased a lot of property since I've been here.
So can we do a motion? Can we do a motion and not go to WBS?
Can I take a look at it? Are we signing?
I believe so. You're not signing anything. We're just accepting.
Oh, no, there's nothing to do.
Accepting the deed, right?
Well,
no, we are signing.
There is a signature picture.
Yep, I do see that.
So I would move to accept the warranty deed for the Blair McIntyre property as publicly noticed. I think there was two public decisions about purchase.
Correct.
And such, and so, and then final acceptance of the offers and all that stuff, and the lease agreement back to Blair. So I think we're fully covered in this. So the property is I don't want to do the township and Grange.
Oh,
the one located on the river.
980 West Park Street.
Great.
Grants.
980 West Park Street. So the motion is to accept the warranty deed for 980 Park Street.
Second.
West Park Street.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
None opposed. That motion passes 3-0. And so we don't need to move this forward to the WDS.
Correct.
Okay. We're all set.
Thank you.
Moving on to item 2A, information technology. John McCaffrey is here today. And item 2A1 is discussion regarding PIO position, public information officer position.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Good morning, commissioners.
Good morning.
So for the position, we interviewed four people along with the board. We found the best candidate, we thought, as a group, in Jason Roberts. We had a second interview last Monday, and what I'm asking now is for your feelings and your approval to go ahead and offer the position to Jason, if that's the way the board feels fit.
Sounds good.
Any comments?
I think it's going to be a good fit, I hope. So I suggest you work with the liaison, HR manager, to negotiate an offer agreement and then bring it back to the board.
Okay.
Sounds real good. I think it's going to be great.
Thank you, commissioners.
Great ish.
When we get the jargon out of them. Yeah. Yes, okay. We're in our jargon now. So.
Item 2B is public work. Rob Randis is here. Item B1 is change to public works internal structure.
Yeah. Good morning, Commissioner.
Memo here and a couple other items of grave importance.
Right. So, as you are aware, the county engineer took a job recently with Jackson County, and as such gave us a chance to kind of reevaluate and look at how we do things internally. And so the general gist of my proposal here is to slightly change the structure engineering, same number of FTEs, still have two non-union manager positions, but instead of backfilling with a civil engineer, we'd be reactivating a position we had on the books years ago, just called an engineering program supervisor. This position gives us a bit more flexibility to not only reflect what I see changing in the market to where we're moving more to a project management type situation with the new transportation, but we know we're going to have lots of Merlin project type things, larger culvert things that we need folks that just have the ability not only to manage that project, but some supervisory as well. It also is going to give me a way to make a little bit of a more clear distinction where the county engineer is more specifically going to be from the design side of things. So that person will carry a project up to the point of final design, plans get handed over to this engineering program supervisor who then oversees construction and the actual build in the field. Again, this is kind of a reflection of what I think is going to work better with more of these medium to large size projects as they go in and out over the course of the years. The other tweak that I did to the engineering program supervisor was to also open it up to where you could either have a professional engineer or be a professional land surveyor, because again, there's a lot of overlap. We're looking for folks that are going to have a fair amount of experience in the field on these kinds of projects. So the memo you've got in front of you there just kind of showing what it looks like, the current and the proposed. The status quo then would be the other four existing positions in our engineering section that would not change initially. There's still, you know, some minor job duties, but nothing that we felt warranted changing an actual position description.
What are the qualifications that a land surveyor would have to supervise engineers or understand and oversee engineering scope?
The thought being that by the time that project has been carried up to final design, so 100% plans are handed over, most folks that are land surveyors are going to have more of that than on-the-ground ability to look at a project and say, okay, you know, we need to move asphalt here. This sidewalk needs to be built differently here. That culvert needs to be adjusted. So surveyors have a fair amount of engineering background as it is, just interpreting and reading plans and specs. But by the time it gets kicked over to this engineering program supervisor, it is more the on-the-ground actual construction building. So the engineering in the title is more a reflection of where it lies in our organization as a part of the engineering program.
So he's more in the field than...
This
you only get so much from a flat piece of paper.
Correct. This position will be in the field quite a bit, yes, managing projects. Obviously, these two positions will be talking quite a bit as a project is developed you know, effectively two different sides of the coin where an engineer says, hey, this is how we could build it. This program supervisor may be in the field more often to say, you know what, I've been out there. I don't know if that fits. Let's try this. So I mean, they're going to work closely together. But again, it's kind of two sides of a coin to get a project built.
So neither of these positions will have the design element any longer?
The county engineer, no, is still over the design section of our department. And depending on the person in that chair, that'll dictate partly, you know, what their design experience is. We've got an internal candidate that's an excellent designer. Don't know if that would always be the case. If it were not, we'd be looking to either contract that kind of thing out, or, you know, the eventual goal, as I got at the bottom there, I'd like to get one more designer in-house, because as these projects keep clicking along, I know that we're going to have just more and more need for these $100,000 size projects that, hey, here's a core we need to get built. So perfect world, I'd love to have 15 of these in the can ready to go, and that would be kind of what the county engineer is triaging and saying, here's the priority, I would like to see these projects designed and ready to build.
I just want us to make sure that we're engineering, designing, and everything else for a solution to the problem. Because we get an awful lot of them where it's all said, nope, that's it, by golly, and it. But if you flip the page there, it's except if you do this.
Right.
Except you. I want to continue to read that additional comments page that the authors, you know, they say, well, you know, this doesn't fit everything. So if this comes up, this is what you can do, and we'll accept it. That's what I'm interested in. I want, you know, I not necessarily here, but a lot of times, across the pond, it was, no, you can't do that. Go on, go away.
Right.
And then you turn the page over and you go, but it says, and that's what I want to do.
Right.
I want to make sure that we're looking at the thing holistically to say that how can we get this project moving forward.
Right. Hopefully you've seen, so with some of the internal changes we've made the last year, that we've tried to take a second look at these, use some of that gray area, if you will. I know engineering in and of itself doesn't necessarily lend itself to gray areas, but I think, again, this position, I could certainly see the county engineer saying, here's the standard as it's written. The engineering program supervisor would have the ability to also put in some input from the field and say, look, here's how that thing actually operates. I think we can move or give here.
Right. Okay.
I want to think about this for, and there's a lot of deference, you know, to you as the you know, expert in your program. That's your job to set this up. What I want to make sure is that you're looking at it, this proposal, exactly through probably my highest priority is that those engineering challenges that have come to the level of hearing at the board's level, that this structure doesn't helps that situation where there's maybe another person saying, yeah, I hear what you're saying, engineer, but that's not practical on the ground. And if that's what this is addressing to, you know, some objective, I'll support it every day in the week and twice on Sunday. I'm going to use this example because I don't have a lot of times that things come to us, which maybe is a good thing. Or stuff just happens and they don't bring it to the board, but you know that there's, and you're not going to like, but we're going to expand Applegate Road, and we're doing it on this side, which makes that person's road have to go back further and impact an irrigation ditch and yada yada. And I'm like, and you've heard me say this, I never want to hear that from an engineer or your program ever again, that style of thing. And if this person, if this design says that maybe an engineer looks at it and says, well, that's where we're going to do it. But the on-the-ground guy goes, or gal says, there's all this flat ground over here, and it actually would reduce the curve if we expanded it this way and not negatively impact this proposal. That's what I'm looking for, is that this structure facilitates that back and forth between your offices, staff, before it gets to me saying, there is no way, A, we're expanding that road in my lifetime, and B, if we do, there's no practical way that we're doing it on the uphill slope. We're doing it on the downhill flat section of that road. That's what I'm looking for, and I apologize if that's a terrible example, but I think it goes to the heart of where what Commissioner DeYoung was saying is trying to find a solution.
Yeah, engineering towards a solution. And
before.
And there are some things you just can't do, and people go, oh, yeah, I can I can walk a cat up there and my wife can drive the motorhome up there. Well,
I never want to hear can't either.
You know what?
Somebody saying out of that office.
You know, that's not a...
Have you been to Cinque Terre? In 1,200 years ago, they were building on slopes that are in excess of anything we have built on in Skyway. So don't tell me it can't happen.
I read a book on the Oregon...
best way.
I read a book on the Oregon Trail. But those people, if they look, if they got to the Rocky Mountains and said, this just can't happen, we wouldn't be here. You know, we'd be,
maybe there's a better way and it shouldn't happen in that part. You know, I know you want that view, but really practically for erosion issues or blah, 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 it should happen over here.
But in defense of rules and regulations, those rules and regulations, as Commissioner Morgan pointed out to reminded me the other day, that those rules and regulations are there because of a mishap in history. You know, somewhere that didn't happen. So we always want to be, you know, recognize that. But, you know, I came from, like I said, across the street over here where they dragged their feet on applications, and the city council finally just said, you have 30 days to get that processed and back to the person, or it's an automatic yes.
Right.
So I think, you know, some of these things have gone on for years, and I think this may be moving in the direction I think we need to move in.
And I don't think that solution's anywhere close to where we want to go, because then you could be saying yes to projects that designs that should not have happened.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's that we're forced into.
No, that isn't where we want to go. That's why we had to go there for park permits and things like that. That's what it was for.
So this is going to help stuff. You know, our the
absolutely, and I guess to your point, part of it is this is also going to be personality driven. You know, every engineer is going to attack a problem a different way, and some of them are going to very hard line. Some are going to be, we'd all say, oh my gosh, that's too loose. So a lot of that is that internal discussion between not only these two but myself as well, and saying what can the county tolerate? Because at some point, like a building official, you got to have a bad cop that can eventually say this is not safe for everybody involved.
Right.
And like I said, I think hopefully the internal changes that we've made the last year, you guys have not seen a whole lot get up here, if anything, that I can recall. So
I think really good progress.
That's been a lot of it, and you know, this will rectify that. The other thing I'm looking to do here is I just know that this market is brutal right now. You know, ODOT's trying to fill like 110 of these type positions statewide, and I know that Jackson County is actively trying to poach another one of our folks. So we're behind the times in terms of keeping these folks on and keeping them paid, because it is cutthroat right now. So that's my other concern.
Okay.
So that's all I got.
All righty.
Good. Thanks, Rob.
Yep.
Thank you.
While you're here, the board had a meeting with, if I may, Mr. Chair.
What's that?
The board had a meeting with the city leadership on Monday, Tuesday.
Yes, Tuesday after Kate.
Just wanted to make sure that we're going to be following up, and I'm happy to help in any way possible with a letter to ODOT to just kind of codify what that meeting was about, the issues that were described, and then a time frame that they can be readdressed. And there was a draft landscape plan for the South Y that was proposed to be done at the end of September. So Commissioner DeYoung is liaison, and the board were looking at the first week in October as a good time to resit. That means we need to get that letter out to them ASAP so that they've got, oh, so these are the five things we talked about. We'd like to readdress them. What I'm looking for is that we keep talking about things for years, and if we don't have a strategy of, you know, it's kind of like those property sales, and you've been in those meetings. Frankly, had I not put together those Tuesday meetings, we'd still be talking about selling properties. And it's no fault of anybody. We all get busy and distracted, and this isn't, you know, landscaping of the South Y. It's not anybody's highest priority, and that's why it takes years to get it done, but it should be somebody's.
Right.
We just need to get it on a list with other things. And you had a half a dozen things. I think Commissioner Morgan may have had things as well that may have been duplicated on Commissioner Young's list, and I the same way.
Well, everything we talked about at our meeting with the city, the mayor was there, and I was there, and Rob was there when we sat down with George and
Jerry.
Yeah. And the only thing that we missed is the center lane on the railroad crossing down here on 6th Street. I think it's one of the concrete pads that settled down to where I have to change lanes.
So we're just looking for a letter.
Your truck, no less.
So we're just looking for a letter reaffirming kind of what we see as the biggest six maintenance issue.
And we decided you drew the short straw.
Right. I thought I felt a dull ache in the back of my head.
It's in your wheelhouse.
So we had the landscape at the entrances, Agnes, Morgan up there, the 6th Street middle lane. You said 6th Street, grabbing a number. Besides that. Okay, so I think
had,
that was it.
Humphrey Bumpley's on all of our, you know, the pavement at all the
F Street, Agnes.
F Street, Agnes.
Yep.
Parkway.
Mill Street.
Mill Street. Mill Street's another bad one.
Is that us? That
Beacon's another bad one. Everything along the parkway seems to be sagging and drooping. I took a picture, and we were talking about the ADA thing the other day. That, boy, before you can redo those approaches, you have to do the sidewalks and everything because ADA.
Yeah.
I took a picture. I've got it in my camera. A Beacon as you're going southbound on Beacon. I'm sitting there waiting for the light to change, and I looked over. In the crosswalk stripes go like this, and they droop down. The wires are sticking up out of the ground for their you're here, and I'm going to change the light. At Agnes, the wires are hanging out of the ground now, so those are completely.
So great on the crosswalks does not mean ADA.
But the crosswalks have got these bumps in it.
Oh, yeah.
And right in the middle of it is one of those water plug things, you know, where you shut the water off for their grid. And they kind of dumped a little asphalt around there, tamped it down with a shovel, so that's all blown out.
Well, that's great, yeah.
And that's, you know, so we can't do anything until we do those ramps.
Mm-hmm.
We can't fix this.
Mm-hmm.
This is
mm-hmm.
crazy. We should be able to fix that any time without, you know, addressing those ramps.
Grade up the crosswalk, is that, I mean, it's greater than
3%.
So
how do you get the slope to the...
I think they would look at cross slope as saying it was there, maybe. I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah. It's kind of...
Okay, I'll take a stab at that then. I'll talk to our folks, see if there's anything I'm forgetting, and I'll give you guys a draft copy of everything on the laundry list.
North 6th Street where you come off I-5.
Yeah, Morgan there. Yep.
Yeah, the left-hand turn there.
Yep.
Have you told Rob about the strategy you have, and you can do it offline, of the 950 Allen Creek and stuff?
Putting together the
RV Act, Josephine County contingency of RV Act before the September-October RV Act meeting so that, you know, at least everybody who, on our
everybody on our side of the Blackwell Hill knows what we're talking about.
Yeah,
right? And I want to include kind of the NPO participants, which is Gold Hill, Rogue River, and this way, because we're going to need to, I think Mayor Stromberg can lean our way. If we give that 950 back to the Act, I don't, and there was noise in the paper about, now we're talking about Allen Creek Road again. In my personal opinion on Allen Creek Road, that was okay, but by the time we got public input back, everybody out there's not in favor of it. When that was going to be the soccer park and soccer complex and everything out there, I could see merit in it because it would have increased the traffic flow out there tremendous going mm-hmm. to that mm-hmm. soccer complex. Now that that's not going to happen, I think the money would be better served on our commuter lanes because that does affect everybody in Josephine County.
Right.
Now, I want to know, and I believe one of the things that drives the cost up is bike lanes, you know, yada, yada, yada. That is not the place for bike lanes is on that expressway or parkway or whatever they call it. What do you call it?
Freight corridor.
Freight corridor. That's not the place for a bike lane. I would say... If we can show an alternate route, which we can, around back behind Public Works and up over the top to get to Redwood Avenue from West Park, I would say that would be the place to do it.
Is there an ability to forego bike lanes on that as a freight corridor?
If you provide an alternate route, I don't know. I'll ask Jenna today and see if she's seen it done.
It'd be kind of nice to be able to
tell Jenna to come over here and I want her to maneuver that. I really do.
Yeah.
Hey, put your helmet on.
You go.
Excuse me. Would you sign the next akin thing before you get started out there?
Yeah.
But it
would be nice if there was an alternate route.
I don't know if they've got a federal law or a state law that would say it's got to be built on that new facility. I can't tell you that. Yeah,
but so. I think that, you know, the bike lane requirement and pedestrian pathway. I think there's a sidewalk almost all the way out there now on the north side.
There's a bit of infill, but not much needed. Yeah.
Just a little bit of infill on that, and that could possibly be a CMAQ project or something, maybe under.
We don't get CMAQ anymore.
We don't. We do, but we don't get as much.
We do. It's impossible. It's hard to use, yeah.
But we still get some.
So as I understand it, the city is going out to have their consultant rescope actual cost on Allen Creek. So we'll get a number on that hopefully fairly soon, I guess, and then they'll have a better idea of how far.
Yeah, there's $100,000 left.
Yeah. You're funny. Comedy hour. But
okay.
We don't expect that number to go down, right?
I wouldn't think so.
I don't.
So scoping for, I mean, I guess if it's an exercise, it needs to be done. But if the delta's pretty big right now, and almost too big for some people to digest,
what is
smaller, so.
Well, I guess what I'd be hoping is to present the board and city council basically two alternatives where it said, if you want to get Allen Creek done and keep the 950 on that, locally we're going to have to come up with another $500,000. If you want to do the two lanes, we're going to obviously have to come up with something more than that. And then
right.
The two bodies can decide.
So find out what their priority is, Allen Creek or is it Allen Creek or is or would
the cities or ODOT's priority?
Either one.
Oh, okay. ODOT will happily take that 950 and fix their facility.
Well,
but I don't want to keep doing this. Go do engineering and you know stuff for this project, and then we go to the pass, you know, the bypass lane. We do engineering on that.
Yeah.
That's $4 million, $10 million. We can't afford that. So we go do engineering on, you know, Fruitdale. Well, that's $12 million. We can't do that.
Right. The only one made out's the engineer. Like a divorce. Who walked out with all the money?
Yeah. There's a balance. You can't have too many projects in the can ready to go, and you can't have zero. So
right. But I think the commuter lanes, if some of the requirements can be relaxed, that, you know, park bike lanes and stuff, let's see what Jenna says.
Yeah, you can ask her.
Very vocal. But I don't think that's the spot for the bike lanes. I really don't. I don't see bicycles going along there because the traffic's 45 miles an hour in some places.
Right.
Maybe the board and the city council, after a recommendation from the MPO, TAC, or whatever, comes up with a letter of priorities of transportation, or are you doing that in the master plan, Rob?
That would be part of the master plan, and again, I just don't know if 199, we may be barking up a tree that doesn't exist. You go to 97 in Bend, they've got crosswalks across that thing on that
right?
one section, so I mean, so I, that may be just a thou shall not do this ever, I don't know.
It's sure worth a shake.
More bike ped stuff on 97 in Bend, not reducing it. You know.
Right, and I'm guessing past Bend it's an expressway
class
something like this. No, but if it's state or federal law, if the feds say you got to put it in, then yeah, we're.
Well, they.
But I would like to turn the page. Maybe state or federal law says you will have a bike element.
If we can have an alternate access,
but if we have an alternate.
If they're leaning towards that, there might be room in the to lean towards that,
right.
Or to just.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if there's says provision. If you have a similar facility within a quarter mile of the project, I don't know if that may be out there, but that's a general question. Okay.
Cool.
Okay.
Because I would rather see the commuter lanes. I think commuter lanes would affect more people daily than Allen Creek will affect in the next 50 years.
Mm-hmm. We kind of just feel that it's on us to present ODOT with a consistent message about these are our priorities, and they're not big stuff. You know, the Sixth Street deal?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Don't we have a grinder in-house? We could just jump out there. I see it. When you look at it, all of the cement seems to be fairly the same across there. It's not like that middle lane cement is down. So the railroad tracks has got adequate infrastructure. It's taking it.
Yeah.
It's the approach or what you're leaving.
The pads don't move.
The pads are not moving. It's the asphalt that is kind of buckled up for some weird reason on the far side. And that kind of just needs to be ground down, in my opinion. But or maybe that's going to leave it so shallow that it has to be.
We could craft a letter in the way that basically, felt like, we know we're not getting as much as we should get on capital projects, so we have a little more focus on maintenance. Because as Commissioner DeYoung and I talked with those guys, I empathize with the maintenance side of ODOT over there. They're in the same boat as us. They cannot feed all the starving kids.
But that's,
and that new bill, all it was capital projects, so they kind of got left out in the cold. But maybe they can then lean on region to say, hey, can we find a little bit of money left over from some of those bigger capital projects?
I'd be interested in how do they determine maintenance dollars when, why does Jackson and Douglas have adequate funding to do all the maintenance they need to do when we have less infrastructure, however,
it feels like
we get less money for?
Right. Yeah, I can't give you the overall pavement condition scoring over there. I'm guessing they allocate it primarily just based on how many lane miles they have, and they may have a factor in there for ADTs.
But. Well, even if there is limited maintenance dollars, what we're doing is we're setting a priority. Yep. These are the things that we see as the maintenance.
Right.
You don't go be filling a pothole on a road nobody's complaining to us about, right. You know. We're hearing stuff about this stuff.
This is the entrance. All these approaches to the parkway and whatnot, those are all things that... Why would I move to Grants Pass if I came off I-5 on the north, the 58, and I'm sitting there at the light, and as soon as I stepped on the gap, the car lurches sideways, and I go, what is up with that?
Mm-hmm. Part of what I've heard out of Douglas
County,
landscaping improvement, and I'm sure it goes for everything, is they fought long and hard for that improved infrastructure up there. And, mm-hmm. You know, Mr. Kubik had a good point about, well, why do we have to fight for something like that? Landscaping is not ODOT's first priority, mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. Health, safety, and welfare is our first priority, and yet we're expecting them to have, you know, aesthetic element in their purview. If you want it, you're going to have to ask for it and lean into it. So that's what we're doing. Okay, we heard you, Douglas County. We're going to do the same thing, put it on a list, and that's kind of how I felt the county was really successful in the urban growth boundary 7 years ago. I gave them my 7-9 things that the county, the board agreed on. It's like, I don't want to talk to you until you've worked on.
Right.
When we're talking about these things, I'm at the table.
Well, and as ODOT discussed with Commissioner DeYoung and I too, the other reality is the ones that look the nicest are all the ones that a capital project attached to it. So once they spend $15 million on fixing an interchange, the maintenance comes after that as well every year. They don't. Once it gets to this point, they don't let it drop. We've already dropped. How do we at least get it raised back up without a capital project?
So, okay. I don't see our off ramps having any. Right? They're not like mm-hmm. the 55's not getting
55 doesn't need anything anytime soon, no. So and 58, some cosmetic stuff with where it comes in the morning, but yeah, nothing major.
I think we just need to update the cosmetics, and I think we're okay. It's mm-hmm. certainly not like the South Y that's going to need some stuff. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm.
The underpass yeah. over there. If we were to put emulsion on that, like it's underneath Beacon and 55 and stuff, that whole underpass would look stellar.
Yeah.
It looked like it was new, or, you know, it's not going to change it. There's no reason to change it right now because the traffic doesn't warrant it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to know if I can draft. I'll draft a letter and get it to the board.
Thanks, Rob.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I'm going to lean back and look at JJ. Do we need a formal motion on the restructure for Public Works?
I was wanting to just hear about it. Think about it.
Okay.
Well, Tuesday? We'll do it on Tuesday.
Does that make sense?
Sounds good.
If I have any questions, I'll just give you an opinion.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Okay.
Tuesday for review.
Item number 3, finance report, business update. Arthur O'Hare.
Thank you. My stuff seems so mundane compared to all this beautification.
Well, try to park it. Try to work it up so we're all pay attention.
So I have an invoice for the 18-19 dues for RV COG. We do budget that each year, but I also bring it to the board to make sure that that's something that we wanted, $7,212. So, similar to last year.
Any discussion on RV COG? Yep.
So, one area that I found this year that was new to me that RV COG is handling, and they're doing it beyond what their funding is for it, is the disaster registry. So, okay. With all the fire meetings we've gone to, that's something that we've talked about at all the community meetings, is not only signing up for a citizen alert, but there's a disaster registry. If you have somebody in your home that would need extra assistance getting out if an evacuation happened, that process is RV COG. When they lost the funding, they used to be able to register online for it, and they lost funding, and that went away. So someone literally has to print off a piece of paper and fax it to them to register for that, which is not necessarily plausible this day and age. But it is something that they saw a program need to continue doing it even without funding. It was originally grant-supported. They no longer get the grant, and they've continued it. And so I just thought I'd bring up that's a service that they've provided to our community that is – not necessarily funded, but out of our dues is being supported.
How many other organizations beside the government can do that? Does Red Cross have something of that sort?
They don't. Nobody else is doing it at all. our office isn't doing it. Any of ours, we get the list from them. They're the only agency.
How many people's on that list? Well, we have
not a lot.
Are we talking about? I guess this came up probably when in our evacuation notices for the fire. Do we have people in there that need assistance moving in level 3?
It was also something that there was questions that came up about the snowstorm last year, where if they needed help, nobody came and checked on them. And what we realized is it's only being used for evacuation, so what does it need to be? But I was not aware it was a service RVCOG was doing in the first place. So I just thought I'd bring it up. We were also going to try to see if there's a way that we can figure out how to get them back online to make it easier for people to register.
Would it be, should the COG be coming to all of its membership and with a proposal and all the membership sign on to go to state government to fund it through that? Is that where did the funding come from before?
A grant.
A grant, but I mean, was it?
I don't know who they got the grant through.
Did they just apply for the grant and were not awarded the grant? Or
I don't have any more details about what happened with them losing the grant.
Okay.
Yeah, those kind of things do come and go. A lot of times you've seen the grants. The main one I recall back in the day was the COPS grant, where it was initial funding for a couple of years, but then you have to pay for that position from then on out. Right. So they'll get you started, but then you have to maintain. That's not unusual for a grant.
That one was community-oriented policing where deputies were assigned to regions.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So, if...
Okay, you need a motion on the dues?
Well, not necessarily. It is budgeted. It is okay. Part. But, like I said, I usually bring it these kind of things to the board just to make sure that we're okay. All in agreement and move forward.
That seems lower. I thought the Food and Friends program alone was a cost to the county of at least $11,000 or something like that. I don't know where I'm getting that number, but
I'll have to look at that.
Yeah, it feels as though those dues have been much higher in the past. So, $7,000?
I thought they were $25,000, honestly.
RV
because
call?
They were asking of all the counties and little cities. You know.
You're
or
not
is that just already?
No, there's a Food and Friends program was like $11,000 or $17,000.
Specifically, this is just RVCOG dues for the annual
18-19.
You're the liaison to the group. What are your thoughts?
Yeah.
Let me get more information.
Yeah, find out
I'll,
some more
I'll bring
about
back
that
some
I do,
historical
I,
on that.
If you're like. Right. That's what we in fact, when we were over the city, the Food and Friends program, no, that was senior meals. Was that the Food
same
and Friends program?
That's Food
same
and Friends, yeah.
And we were really low in comparison to how many people we had on the program.
We have the most in the two counties, and we're paying the least.
And we're paying the least by a pretty fair margin. But if that's their ask. Yeah,
but we weren't utilizing a lot of other programs from the
right.
program. But you go to the meetings. I don't go to the meetings, so you would know that.
I think I better get what does Josephine County participate in and stuff for RV.
I would suggest paying the dues.
Yeah.
Pay and then ask.
I'm okay
I'll
with the dues.
The commissioner.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. So, speaking of Food and Friends, quickly let me get the Hugo Hills. So I did get a demand letter. I think I sent each of you an email to this effect from the Oregon Health Authority for the 73,000 awards that were given to Hugo Hills back in 1995, 1996, and the year 2000. We had originally agreed to reoccupy Hugo Hills with a residential treatment facility within 1 year. Well, that has not occurred. That's been a little over a year ago that Options left Hugo Hills, and Hugo Hills has been sitting there. So Oregon Health Authority has sent us demand letters that you now need to pay that $73,000 since you did not fulfill the requirement of reoccupying that within the 1 year period.
I'm just wondering if it's worth reaching out to some of our state legislators and asking, are you aware this is going on? Are you aware that they're giving out grants that after 25 years they're asking for payback?
Yeah. Well, it's a amortized portion, so it's not the full amount. It's the agreed upon portion. When we originally signed the grant agreement accepting the money, that the terms were it would be amortized over a 30-year period.
I don't think Commissioner Morgan's point is bad, but when we do that, we should do that. You know, reach out to our legislators, we're the elected body. We should start with that. Previously agreed upon by boards 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Now they're asking for their money back.
Yeah, it seems a little bit long, although it was attached to a mortgage, and I looked back to see if we had any identification of what those funds were used for, and what they were called is either for the purchase of the property or the renovation of the property to make it habitable for that residential treatment. And I did look back, and I was already informed by the folks at Oregon Health Authority that even though we may not like it, these types of things have occurred with other agencies in years gone by, and everybody has been required to pay. So they tried to preempt that little objection.
Sounds like PERS.
It's just you're required to pay. So that's kind of their position that they've set up at this point, but I agree. I think it is for being such a long term. I mean, you get a $30,000 grant, and you have to amortize it over 30 years.
A $30,000 grant?
Well, there were
And we have to pay
several.
$73,000.
There were three grants that were, one was $169,000. I mean, there were several pieces, but the smallest of the three was $30,000. And that also was a 30-year amortization.
I guess part of the issue is the reason why it's not occupied is because issues with Oregon Health Authority working with the agency that was trying to move in there.
And I did send them that letter, email, well, at least to Karen, my contact with Oregon Health Authority. I have not gone up the ladder to talk to directors or legislators or anything like that. So,
on the brighter side, but if there is a good wrinkle of this, you pay the $73,000, and we own it outright?
Correct. There's no more lien.
No more liens. No more nothing against it.
And then we're free to move forward. I think in the works, Helene has received the appraisal back from our appraiser for that property. I think she's going to bring it forward in whatever point of time.
I don't want to pay it. Okay. I don't want to pay it and then find out, you know, in a week, we signed an agreement with a qualified provider to go up there for a little while. Oh, and by the way, they need $70,000 worth of improvements to bring it up to a certificate of occupancy.
Mm-hmm.
So we pay $73,000 that we didn't have to.
Right.
I would rather
right.
spend that $73,000 on bringing it up to, you know, compliance and move-in type of deal.
And that and sitting empty, that thing could accumulate $73,000 worth of repair pretty darn fast. So that's, you know, in one of the ways I was looking at it is you get the 73 off of there and sell it and just get rid of it.
Well, those are discussions.
Or whatever
it's not for now.
We don't talk about that here.
And that's what Helene will bring that forward at the appropriate time.
We
and probably under legal.
So we can make a really good decision of what's best for the
So that's
the agency has also been given till this week to make a decision. So we're expecting a decision Monday.
That'll all come together.
Yes.
I think it'll be interesting.
Yes, it will.
But thank you for...
Just letting you know where the status of that one is. So speaking of Food and Friends, I did reach out to Michael Cavallaro, and the board requested that Michael send back to us a listing of add-backs to the Food and Friends contract. The thinking was that we didn't want to diminish the overall benefit to our senior citizens with the reduction in the budget that they were experiencing. So the question was asked, what would you add back if you could? And give us a price list.
I think the question was, what did you take away to reach the
to get to the
$92,000?
Yeah.
You had to delete what?
Yeah.
And is that important?
And he sent us that list, and then to put it into a finer decision making mode, we said, what would you add back if you could? And what would the price be?
For $60,000, right, or something like that?
The shortfall was $92,000, and so we agreed to pay half of that.
46. They were still seeking other grants and support. And
there's a contingency.
And they've come
right,
up with
there's
some,
a contingency.
Yes, but they were willing to match whatever we were.
But, and Michael also said that his contingency, he's got that down there to where it may not
cover it.
He's really worked hard at it. He's lost a lot of sleep over this thing.
So he did send back an email. I think each of you received that a week or so ago. The cost of all the add backs of all of them that he suggested adds up to $100,000. Exactly. That's
have you reviewed
amazing.
This, Commissioner Dion?
Yeah, we both went over it at that last meeting.
Yeah, and I and Arthur came in the other day, and we kicked around how important these things were. You know, like the windows in the windows in to let lighting in.
Yeah.
You know, things of that sort.
Some of them might be aesthetic, but they also have a very practical benefit to the occupants of that and the senior citizens. The portico is the most expensive piece of this request.
$70,000,
yes, of the 100. But the issue is, do they have, when you're dropping people off, seniors, people, wheelchairs, do they have a dry place that they can get out of their car and get to the front of the building? Without the portico, the answer is no. They don't have
rain here anymore anyways.
Yeah.
How many umbrellas can you buy from Tampa? No.
Stay out of the smoke or something. But the other issue that I had, and this is maybe not pertinent, but the other issue I had is when you drive by that building, you want to be able to say, that's a nice-looking building. It looks like they did something to it, rather than driving by and say,
that's
I don't
church.
See the difference. That's the old church. Looks like they might have painted it.
What are they doing to the outside aesthetics?
I would have to look that up to see.
That email had a picture affiliated, didn't it?
Oh, right. Well, as far as the portico is concerned, I was thinking you were saying about something else.
Such, 'cause it is kind of old.
Yeah, so the picture they had is,
it looks painted, but I don't know if they have to.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah, I don't know.
Michael and I walked around the outside, and it could use a new set of siding.
Yeah. I would have to look to see if that is
I think
in
the question,
there or not.
The question I think Arthur's asking is it popular or unpopular to do the 100,000 and get it back up to where you're making those changes?
Where does that money come from? I mean, the first place you have to do is talk
question.
About, do you have any money?
It's always the first question.
That's the question. So based on, I did send the board, had that list of, all the various funding sources that were not allocated or identified in the budget, or at least the part of the budget, but over and above what we had budgeted, PILT being the main one. We were suggested sending $1 million over to property reserve to cover our costs. The actual PILT receipt over and above our budgeted revenue was $1.1 million, or $1,110,000. One of the suggestions was moving that $1 million over to cover property issues. Since there happens to be $110,000 above and beyond that, I suggested, or at least bringing to the board here, that maybe that $100,000 come out of that $110,000 that was over and above what we've already, or at least what was already suggested of what to do with that.
And I see. Where did we get the 45 to do the first thing? So if you did it, if you're doing 100,
right.
45 of it's already spent. So in my opinion, you've only got 55 left,
if that's
where it came from.
That's the main piece, yeah.
So what can you get for 55?
Well, that's certain. You can for 30, you can get everything except the portico.
I wonder if we gave 55, if they could find. I mean, I know they've looked under every rock and blah blah blah, but
that would be.
Well,
good.
I'm looking at the list of what they are. I mean, some of them are automatic.
Faucets. Automatic faucets.
Right.
Things.
Some windows in the dining room.
Uh huh.
There was not just the portico was $70,000. I couldn't find the email anymore, so I don't know what happened to it. But
I don't know. I can give you the spare.
I think Commissioner Hare had a good question. Where was the 46 going to come from? Was it going to come out of that?
Property reserve. We're going to take that out of the general property reserve, to my knowledge.
We were going to take it out of property reserve, but that's before the suggestion of putting in the million or after the million?
My math.
Outside of that.
I could do that table in my head. That's where I was getting it. Mm-hmm. We had already, in my mind, done $1 million out of property. We didn't collect an appropriate amount of depreciation out of property reserve because it was doing fine, and we had covered some significant improvements to our infrastructure. We've done heating and air conditioning. We've replaced all these windows, new HVAC and heating system in the Justice Building. We leaned in pretty good, bought down the building reserve fund, mm-hmm. but we didn't look at our liabilities as being all that great. They're coming online. You've got 34 units on the top of that jail that were put in 20 years ago, and they're going to start coming to the end of their useful life real soon. So Ryan's been looking at that and trying to, you know, plan for that, but we've got some significant facilities issues.
Right.
The last thing I want to do is walk out of here in the last 4 months and say you're going to inherit another Dimmick Tower situation where they don't have $250,000 to replace that roof. So that fund needs to be pretty robust, so I think that's a very diligent thing to take care of our infrastructure by putting mm-hmm. $1 million. I think there's $100,000 there real to do the Food and Friends, but what I'm conscious of is every $100,000 that I'm giving to this for a portico, new windows, automatic faucets, if you go down to the fairgrounds, they haven't been given $100,000 to do that. You look at some of those restrooms, you look at our restrooms, they're going to have nicer infrastructure than we are, and that's not our core responsibility. These things are. So that's always the matrix that I look at in my mind when I'm making a decision is cost-benefit analysis and where would that money have gone had I just, you know, signed it somewhere to our infrastructure. So I think it's a good thing. I don't want to spend over $100,000. I think we've given them a tremendous amount of $800,000 of a grant that they couldn't have gotten without the county as the chief sponsor. Now, they've done all of the work associated with this for a very valid, one of the best programs I think we can have in Josephine County that we don't have. But we're going to be right there with the Joneses once this is done. Portico is important. We don't have a portico at any of our infrastructure. Maybe that's...
No, I think those are all valid.
Those are just
very good points to keep in consideration. I think I will add, though, one of the reasons that we did move fairgrounds off of the general fund is because the fairgrounds does have some capacity to generate their own fees and to get their own a different revenue stream to support their operations. Your point is absolutely spot on. What could they do?
If I had a choice between funding, you know, a law enforcement deputy that can respond to somebody being in a negative situation, a real challenge, mm-hmm. and having new paint on 4-H barns, I hate that I have to make that decision.
Yeah.
But that's where I'm putting the resources, because they do have a capacity where if you're not going to be able to go out there with a boot to try to raise funds for a law enforcement
right.
officer.
Right. So. Well, and one other point, at least in my mind, I consider the PILT, the additional PILT funds that we've got, as looking at it as one-time funding. I don't think we can consider guaranteed that we're going to get that much PILT every year for the next so many years.
I highly recommend you put the $800,000 as the revenue stream from PILT next year's budget.
Yeah.
Don't adjust it to 1.8.
Yeah, right. I think so, because there's such an overlap between that, shared receipts, SRS funding, and those things seem to be in flux.
Three people who understand how the PILT formula is calculated, Rocky doesn't even, you know what I mean? And the guy's been doing it.
Buck an acre. Great job. Good job. Well, that's negotiating.
Yeah. Well, we don't.
Payment in lieu of taxes. So the taxes on my acre of ground, which very resembles that, I'm paying $1. I don't care what he says. I don't care what anybody says. Yeah. You're letting the federal government get by for absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Dollar an acre, 885,000 acres or eight, something like that, and they pay $800,000 and we're going, wow, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
So nice.
No.
So I do, just to say, rather than putting into operations you know, unless we can target that and see how that's going to flow out over the next several years, again, just my personal viewpoint, their one-time funds should be spent on one-time projects rather than on continuous operations.
Yeah, and I think one-time funds should be spent on one-time projects that have a life. Okay. You're taking that $100,000 and giving it to the sheriff to hire one deputy. He gets him trained, and then the $100,000 is gone. You don't have a deputy. You don't have his training. You don't have anything anymore.
But the $800,000.
Oh, we had that with HR with that training we were doing for juvenile.
The $800,000 is a consistent revenue stream that we will put
correct.
In our budget next
correct.
Year. So that's not
think,
all of it. It's just the
correct.
Surplus amount.
The revenue
I think
on what
that
we budgeted.
Be
yes.
counted, but we're going to take $1 million of the surplus mm-hmm. and put it into property reserve. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
To do what we've done, part of what we've done, and some, but to me, and this is just my way of thinking, this commissioner, I wouldn't mind taking that $100,000 instead of putting it in property reserve, take care of this thing, and yes, the other $46,000 came out of property reserve, so you give them $1.50, but
you want to
$460, and then, but that money would have been part of that money. The $1 million that we put into property reserve would have just sat there instead of doing something. At least it's doing something.
It'll be reinvested.
I see your point on the infrastructure we have aging. We don't want the whole county, all of our facilities, to fall into the same thing as the fairgrounds is in, where we're way behind on our maintenance.
Yeah. Or what could airports do with?
Exactly. I get that. Airport. I'm working on a deal for airports and the fairgrounds. That you know, they need to be self-sustaining, and they're working on that. How can we get them funded? That's fine. That's up to those two.
I'm cool with it as long as they're working on it. I've had other programs in the past.
Yeah, and they
thought that somebody else was always going to come in and solve their issue.
No white knight anymore. So I have no problem. I think. That Food and Friends thing has been on the radar for a lot of people, you know, a lot of organizations and whatnot. If we can just push that over the hump and make it look like it's different than, well, gee, it looks like the same building. And
right.
Portico is the aesthetic part of it that's going to say. And for instance, in when's our deal? Is that today?
September 6th is the
September the 6th. We say, you know what, the county's going to come on board, and we're going to finish this project for you.
Yeah, the shovel,
the groundbreaking.
That the portico shouldn't be done, and the rest of it's fine.
Should we prioritize what's important to them, or should we just allocate, you know, here's $100,000, what would you do with it, of course, you know what I mean?
Well, they gave us a list with prices on an individual level.
Right. We asked for it.
Right. Okay.
And they could get it, and then maybe they can get, because we have a skin in the game in Parker, we have a down payment. The county's willing to put $30,000 towards that portico. Would you come alongside and do that? You might get an organization to do that.
Diamond, you know, or whatever, to donate all of the materials or something like that. And there you go, there's $30,000.
It shows our commitment.
Somebody calls Harold Hartman and they tell him, you know, you're doing this project in Josephine County. And Those options, I think, could be explored, and they're totally, they're valid. They happen. Let's start with 100, not prioritize it for them, because that's really their job. Is their, you know, maybe they put all of it towards
the 46 to get to take care of what their shortfall is, and then what
we've got.
The other $54,000 we want you to put towards that list.
Is that what you want to say?
Yeah, that's
fine.
That 100, it includes
we're
the 46
the whole
that we already
bill, but we're going to give them some seed money, then get part of it done, and go get another investor for the portico.
We're happy to also help. I mean, I talked to Harold this morning. If, you know, if that's something that can be helpful.
As far as talking with some other people in the community?
Yeah. You know, and it doesn't have to just be Diamond. It could be a couple of different deals.
Fields, farmers,
Home Depot could really, they've got
national. There's a tractor place up here. Say, you know, we want a sense of community. We're in.
Yeah.
You never know.
Home Depot might be a great option as far as looking at partnering with local seniors.
Okay.
That gives them seed money.
I don't have any connection there, do you? It seems like somebody does with, like, the addiction. They do a veteran, you know, so there's a connection that we just need to find.
Well, they probably have those funds, and just like their veteran program,
Walmart reached out to us with a fire. I bet if we just called them, even reached out to the manager, somebody would have.
Yeah, you're probably.
They'd be able to say, you know, that fits right in with this program or that program that they have.
As liaison, will you kind of explore some of those? And if you need any help, Lily's more than welcome.
I'd be happy to make some phone calls with you if you would like.
And Home Depot wouldn't be there if our city council hadn't allowed it to happen.
I want this to be an opportunity, and I don't want to make a big deal about it. But the reason Josephine County is here and successful right now is it is the easiest thing sometimes when we have resources to just write that check. I will be out there, and I will be really, I'm expecting out of this board to look at those things of, well, we can do 100. We've got to be creative about solving those deltas. There should always be a delta that we're trying extra hard to solve. If you've ever written the check, then we didn't do our jobs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's what I want to impart right here is this example. And for the last 8 years, we have always had a delta. There's always a 10% on the.
Well, that's the way
it is. Well, the 92,000.
Always a delta.
You got to have a skin in the game. But I think another
you've
thing.
You've got to have something left that you're trying to solve.
One of the things that's very important, I think, that's happening now is you're getting community involvement in things that the county is pushing forward.
Yeah, what a great thing to have Home Depot's name out there, or Diamonds, or somebody else.
The fairgrounds, for instance. As soon as we got some community involvement from some heavy hitters in that fairgrounds, we would have never probably, I don't think that some of the things would have come our way that did come our way.
I agree.
Without community involvement.
So I actually think one of the first phone calls should be you calling Michael and saying, Michael, there's an opportunity for us to try to come with some of the funds, but we think the next reach out should be to some of the local hardware places and say, could you give any donations of equipment? Maybe the portico, it could be a Diamond portico or Home Depot portico or Fields portico, whatever that is. Mm-hmm.
And we're willing to help you with that.
Right.
Michael's done a lot. So
yes, but,
you know, but I think what he needs to know is that can he use Josephine County as saying, yeah, Josephine County is going to do this. I think you walk in, nobody likes to be the only one. I think they like to be part of something more. It's easier to be part of something than to be the first car in the parking lot of the restaurant.
Yeah, totally.
It's much easier to pull in when there's a lot of cars in the restaurant. Yeah.
Great.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll get a hold of Michael to start that off. But 100K.
Well, he might know who's already contributed.
And we don't want to bark up the tree.
And he may be able to bump it up. He may be able to go to them and say, you know, hey, the county, we're 40 grand short on this, or we're 38 grand short on this. And we really, that portico means so much. They said, well, you know, we're in. As long as somebody else is there, we'll pick it up. So, okay.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Do we have a date scheduled for addressing the Secure Rural Schools appropriations? And there was supposed to be a contingency of law enforcement. I think we decided that that's obviously. But bringing back a proposal to the board, I'd like that, you know, for that September. Sounds like we need to get there. I know the fires are still an issue, but they're not to the same degree every day.
No, the cooperators' meetings are done.
I think we're in a place where we need to really be leaning into that. And, you know, for me, the priority is I see the jail being adequate and getting up to staffing. We need to really focus on the patrol element of this long-term project.
Patrol and dispatch going into night shift with potentially reservation for two or three detectives.
One of the things I think that it might be advantageous to have Commissioner Morgan in is when the city moves, there's going to be some challenges with that. Who's talking about the infrastructure that needs to be in place? Is it advantageous to have them there? Do we sublet? I am the last person to want to have... I don't want to do that. I could do it like anything. But you kind of know that world.
Yeah.
And it's really important in these roles, as I see them, Commissioner Morgan, is that there's a position as a commissioner is representing the board that is not, that will let me, you know what I mean, getting in there in too much in the... That's actually somebody else's wheelhouse.
Well, and how much of is it the sheriff because it's his dispatch for his patrol versus, you know, is it us?
What I see this role is a coordinator. not a convener like the commissioners have the authority to do. Putting the right people in the room to start talking about it, because I don't feel like it's happening. If it is, it's not being brought
not
to
formally.
My attention.
Yep.
And I would suggest we delegate Commissioner Morgan as the convener for that. Let's get that solved. That's been a reoccurring issue for a decade when we deviated, and I don't want to get into all of the history. I just want to, what is the best way to move forward for everybody's concerned, and take this as an opportunity to say, hey, the city's moving. What do we do with that? You know, how does that affect us?
I see them digging around over there in the parking lot. Are they putting something in? Are they putting
in? I don't know.
I thought dispatch was like the first thing they were looking to try to move.
That was under the plan of they thought they could get a grant for upgrades, and that got shot down. So they're doing the whole kit and caboodle at once.
All the same time. Well,
I've heard they're leaving behind their infrastructure. The problem is it's going to be, so the life of the infrastructure that's in dispatch right now is at its end. But they're leaving it behind for us to clean up. And it means that our sheriff can continue to use the outdated infrastructure. But they've now purchased and authorized getting new stuff for the new building. I don't believe that was extended to the sheriff to purchase new stuff. But that is something that we're looking at, as our infrastructure is beyond its
useful life.
Correct.
So let's take this as an opportunity.
Okay.
And not leave it up to anybody else to help coordinate that. If you're willing, I don't want to just
I'm willing if... I mean, up till now, the sheriff has wanted him as the liaison. He hasn't wanted to deal with me. So that's something I'm trying to be mindful of, but it is my wheelhouse.
And knowing that that can be sometimes not necessarily an asset to people who want to talk about it, and I hope I'm just a messenger here on this, so don't hold it against me necessarily, but it's really important how it's presented that you're just your convener. You have information to provide, but that's... You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can do that. It's totally possible.
Okay.
And I would just love this to be something that you could kind of help convene.
Okay.
And I would feel better if we could just do it that way and kind of move. I don't feel good about it right now. There's lots of room.
And there's valid reason for not feeling good about it right now.
Okay.
What are your thoughts?
I'm in favor. It's going to be a mess. Is there any way that the two can work together and have one big happy call center type thing? No.
Everything should be on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then you just put them out there and you say, okay, this didn't work, that didn't work.
Because it sounds like they're going to build a state of the art system over there, leave us with something that we have to try to deal with to try to make work, so that we have to put money out to get ours up to speed. When if their capacity was up by 40%, could it all go through one area?
One of the things that's challenging for this subject is there's so much historic baggage associated with mm-hmm. that. And it's really important that, you know, you leave it at the door. All that doesn't mean anything. We're here today. What are we doing about it now?
Mm-hmm.
How are we moving forward? Regardless of how we got here, it's such a...
Consistent with our work together...
Got to have that
atmosphere
mindset.
That we've created, and nothing now all of a sudden we're going to split it apart again.
It's all in the past.
It's all in the past, we're and how right can we work it, or is it possible?
Well, and the options of, well, so many things can
what
be on
the table. What we could have, should have done?
No, right now. What are our options right now?
That's where
if we need night dispatch, is it extend ours? Is it contract with somebody else? Exactly. ODF does that. They cover from these hours, then it transfers to the 911 center at night, you know, and different stuff. So depending on...
Those options
seasons.
Is your biggest value, that you understand those things. That's huge. I don't know those things.
Are there private contractors that will do all dispatching and everything rather than it
this
being
is,
a county and city function? Can we both hire somebody like concierge? It's just, you know, anybody can hire a concierge and they do a job. Is there such a thing out there that says, yeah, we're a professional dispatch company? And we?
I know you might want to know the answer to that. But I don't, is that all? I want her to just explore all of those options so that the board isn't coming up to a floor.
Then you're not in the room. Is there?
But so, there's 100 other questions that come around.
Right, exactly.
You know what
they
I mean?
Do, but I mean, I was just
what's
wondering.
The liability assigned to somebody
right.
who's an out third?
Yeah.
All of that stuff needs to be explored.
Dispatch is an option, but 911 is another function. Right now, they're together. And the 911 board is an ORS 190 organization. Is that the right number? 190?
I think so.
The same as the Job Council right. was an ORS 190 organization. The 911 board is that right. as well.
We should look into liability as far as PERS is concerned by a charter organization. We should evaluate all of those.
Well, how many of these 190s do we have? And yeah. and as it is one of those, what is our obligation there versus just one voting member on a board?
I can probably
greater?
Think of four. Yeah. At least. Off the top of my head.
Yeah, it might be worth us knowing what all those are, because I didn't know that's
well,
what the 911
was. It won't matter if we win. It will if we lose.
Yeah.
So... something we'll have to think
just
about.
A question. Totally. I have no problem.
There are two private organizations in the state who have taken on dispatch and 911 function for regions that are private, separate organizations that all the cities and counties contract with. There is one in Jackson County that is kind of a separate division that handles the dispatch over in that region. But traditionally here, the sheriff's office has had their dispatch. The city has had their dispatch. 911 used to be a separate entity, but they've contracted with the city, so essentially it's city now. They have controlling members of the
But is there board. An opportunity for us to say, let's subscribe to that company and have them do the whole thing?
Well, maybe bring us some options.
Put them at the lead, and then we don't have to worry about all the different
things. Is it our decision about what happens with dispatch, or is it the sheriff's decision about what happens with dispatch?
I think it should be in the room and just say this is...
Oh, I'm not saying it's not the room.
The other side of the coin, should we be in the room?
That's
absolutely.
The
I think that this has to be a joint decision between the sheriff
absolutely.
And the
board.
Okay.
Because it may be a headache that he's trying to figure out, and we're not aware of that. Maybe it takes up too much of his time. Let's sit in the room and talk.
The other thing,
but you want to convene that as a convener?
Sure.
My date for addressing
SRS
would be September 6th. I don't want to suggest that we have it as part of the admin meeting. It's a different subject entirely, and I wouldn't mind if we were on the same schedule having a break till 11. That's my recommendation, is that we set a date and time certain so those players can be here at...
Oh, what do you... I did miss the very first part.
Secure Rural Schools appropriations of those,
okay.
those additional law enforcement funds.
When is Sheriff supposed to hear about his $600,000 grant request? That was in September sometime, I thought.
Could be.
Yeah, could
end,
be.
End of September, something like that.
Does that make... That may affect...
Well, it could be. I think, though, I think
that's kind
from
of
what my understanding is that really that's a separate issue. If the grant comes, he'll get these, you know, for the marijuana task force or whatever he's thinking of. And if it doesn't happen, then
it doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen.
Not only that, he would do that without the Secure Rural Schools funds being appropriated or whatever
right.
today. He could do what he's applying to do.
If he gets a grant.
So I think they're kind of they're separate. It's separate. This might dovetail, but it...
And I
think
you know,
the community's expectation is that it's separate, too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, okay.
Well, we know what the application is anyway. So
you're thinking the September 6th, but that is what you were thinking Commissioner Morgan was...
No, that's separate.
So we're talking the SRS funding, which originally we were talking that would be some school resource officers. Is it,
I want to hear the proposal.
You want to hear the okay.
So
September 6th.
It's been a little while, and
yep.
you know, for good reason. We
yep.
had to get through the budget. It shouldn't be distracting in that. It was last minute. We've got fires.
Yep.
Now we're at a point where
so
I want moss to grow and people to say.
When did you want to do this
just
SRS?
Money. Well, they need
September 6th.
You know, if it takes a year.
As a separate meeting, I think is what.
What are we waiting for?
Okay. Can I? I'd
11?
Like to meet with you before then.
Yeah, that's totally
correct. Correct. Yeah, correct. You bet. I think so. Right, and the other thing is, as long as we're checking these off, we've got the LDAC for the 3% cannabis. Isn't that correct there?
Yeah, so at one point, we have one-time funds that the state is giving to mental health,
right,
which falls under Sean Martinez. It's one-time funds, not... necessarily renewing.
Operational, so
right.
That's.
So out of that, we're doing the phase one that went through budget presentation with you guys was prevention program extending into the Three Rivers schools contracted with Women's Crisis. And the other part was putting a, we're trying to figure out the title where it's kind
is
of.
Is it a multi-year program or is it?
Yes.
Two-year pilot. Okay. Two-year pilot,
excellent.
Right?
Because it seems like it takes time to start up if it were.
They're already existing and set up in the Grants Pass School District, just so then it's a matter of getting into the county schools.
Excellent.
They're also working with the Pregnancy Crisis Team's EPIC program, which talks to kids about making decisions of reaching goals.
Are we going to hear this whole proposal? Or
we've already heard this portion. We've already approved
one.
Part of some of these.
Okay.
So there's three positions that are going to the county schools that we're supposed to be with some of this money, but we have to talk about ongoing costs and which tax pays for it. And to me, the marijuana dollars make the most sense. That juvenile prevention specialist in the three schools would be that
after
funding.
The initial funding expires, you're looking to tap into marijuana funding.
The 3% plus what's left over from the 17%.
Is that one person for three schools, or is that one for each school?
It's not the schools, it's the three divisions. One person in each of the divisions. So North Valley, Hidden Valley, Illinois Valley, plus the juvenile and the elementary schools. So it covers the three schools.
So we're adding three new positions.
Already budgeted, already
what we need
presented
to consider
on, yeah.
is how are we funding it ongoing after the one.
That's what I mean. If it's one,
that's the budget from the revenues.
And I think
one of them,
10%.
One of them's already funded through. It was budgeted through juvenile. They moved it from a juvenile PO to that, so that
yeah.
one's funded already. The options are
funded for how long?
It was already in juvenile's budget,
right.
So it wasn't temporary funding. It's
for as long as juvenile
trust funds
works.
General fund, one of those positions.
It's part of the juvenile budget, so it's funded through that combination of
trust fund,
general fund, SRS funds. You know.
So the other question is: is it continued through trust fund? Because one of the forest trust funds said that it's juvenile justice.
Right. Correct.
Outside of the detention, the other option is the marijuana. Was it?
Trust is shelter.
No, it's we
juvenile
specifically
shelter.
Said juvenile yeah. justice, not
the
to limit just shelter.
Yeah, but
the primary is shelter,
primary
but could
shelter, that's what I mean.
Could
right.
cover the portion of juvenile that's general fund that isn't funded by anything but general fund was we intentionally said juvenile justice outside shelter and the justice, so it's
right.
not just limited to the shelter.
Right. Right.
The other thing
right.
is the 3% is about $60,000 a year. And that can go towards this from the local tax, local option tax.
Mm-hmm.
Then the 17% that's currently funding the code enforcement, the attorney, and one school resource officer that never got filled.
Correct.
So.
How do we appropriate funds and they're not being.
He wanted to have a senior deputy go in there, so he waited until he's backfilling, but he hasn't backfilled. Or got people trained.
That's the challenge, I think, with the school resource officers, with not just that one position, but the other couple that were.
Yeah, and I see that as a bad thing. Having somebody who's senior, you don't want a little more experience. Whatever.
Yeah.
I just want these positions funded and filled in
yes.
a long-term fashion in a budget that I can look at and say, these funding streams are complicated. They're one-time coupled with trust monies coupled with secure rural schools or general
yep.
fund, and you know I don't know juvenile's budget backwards and forwards. I know those other things really, really well, but also looking at the consistent funding streams, that we're not over allocating the 10% or the 3% marijuana revenues, that you find yourself having to cut that school resource deputy or whatever, the attorney, because
mm-hmm.
you over-appropriated
yeah.
these other funds for programs. And it's like, well, wait a second, I never did the cost-benefit analysis of whether or not is the attorney more important or is, you know, adding this other prevention specialist in a region more important. So
mm-hmm.
that program, as complicated, can be put down on paper and really just...
Yeah. That's
that
what I wanted to...
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, I can make recommendations on a lot of it, But from the juvenile
well,
and the
help
thing.
If you had it kind of 3-year delineated out, 4-year.
Yeah.
So one thing we talked about was with the Women's Crisis Wings program that's expanding, that this first year is going out of that mental health funding. However, future year, they're going to go in with the other treatment providers in town, and they apply to have continued support through that mental health funding through the state either way. So it should never come back to be funded through any of our other dollars, the WINGS portion. It's the juvenile prevention specialists / POs that are going in the schools that the schools are begging for that help. The juvenile department's been begging to be able to help. And
they
this
really
was,
are getting to be a serious problem.
And this is the solution that they're working with the school districts that they came up with. Mm-hmm. They're trying to finalize the job description right now to bring back to us for approval. Yeah. And anyhow, it's close to being presented to you guys to actually hire and go out.
Nice.
So.
Well, I'll get together with you then, and we'll put together the numbers. I've got the numbers for the budget and our estimates, so we'll put that together in a presentational format that we can bring back to the board then on the next Thursday, which next Thursday, I think the suggestion was not part of the admin meeting, but a separate time.
Yeah, I'd rather not have those people waiting
right
here. I think we could do it at a time certain.
Or have it as the last item on the admin agenda.
Just do it at 11.
Okay.
Let's make it 11.
That's okay.
And then we'll I just hate when we get done and then we have to wait for 11.
Well, I have plenty of things to do in the interim. And
keep you going.
I'm just teasing, but
I know you are.
I have lots of phone calls to make.
Anything else, Arthur?
Yes. That I have so many things, but I think that'll call it good right there.
You sure?
Yeah.
Then might as well not go into next week's meeting. You have more exciting stuff next week.
Just the anticipation is what gets you.
Thank you, Arthur. Item number 4, other business. Any other items that should come before the board?
I have one that I wanted to throw out there. Sarah had been trying to find a solution for some of this overtime conversations and such, and one of them was looking at our personnel policy that currently exists that covers all managers already, that says that if the board declares an emergency, that there can be opportunities for that. She recommended adding two words, board or FEMA declared emergencies. That would potentially cover all departments for that reimbursement from the federal government for time spent for various things if necessary. But it was a recommendation of an opportunity that the board can still put stipulations on the when and the how or any of that. But by adding those two words, it covers some of those events that affect all the departments more than just, we didn't declare an emergency for these fires, but it sure was one we were dealing with evacuations and
you
such.
You can almost say that we did when we do a conflagration. You know, we're admitting that if it's outside of our ability to handle locally, that, in my mind, constitutes an emergency.
Sure.
If we didn't do it.
But per the law of what the policy says, we have to declare an emergency, which we haven't. And if Klondike had gone different towards Selma, we would not have been declaring the conflagration. It would have been Ivy Fire Board. Even though we would then be dealing with evacuation notifications and animal evacuations and stuff. So our staff would still be dealing with the outcomes of it, even though somebody else declared the emergency. So it's a topic that I thought would be appropriate for us to talk about at some point.
I totally agree. I think it is something we need to discuss because there's nuances to it as to whether or not part of it is like whether or not we can or whether or not we should from a standpoint that some of these positions were negotiated that responsibilities outside of a normal work environment are going to be there. What I see for this specific instance and others, that's why there's the discretion in the policy of the board, is that you've got, you know, a manager with a program that's structured to have backup assistance that hasn't been hired. There's a new contract with the city's responsibilities, but there isn't the staff there to handle that. And they're responsible for two counties based on an agreement that, you know, the previous boards had agreed to. It just isn't, and they don't have their person in place yet. So it's the worst situation of the worst fire season, big, long, extreme situation. Because in the future, if all of this works, I don't want this to be a reoccurring issue to where there's that big of a supplemental compensation. It's been negotiated a salary. Yeah. To kind of deal with these things, there needs to be the structure to facilitate to where people aren't doing hundreds of hours of overtime, because otherwise we find ourselves with people potentially being compensated more than the sheriff.
If you look at the deputies that were assigned, they will be compensated more greatly than the sheriff will be this year. And we had other employees in other departments, IT, for instance, working overtime, didn't have a day off. They provided function that was actually helping back to the federal agencies. That would be nice to be able to build back to the federal agencies, all that effort. And then assisted Jackson County when the Ramsey fire happened, too. It was kind of one of those things that we got this trifecta team of sorts, of Corey, Sarah, Bob, that have become the fire experts for both counties.
We really need to sit down with the finance director, the managers of the programs involved from the sheriff's office, and emergency management, IT, maybe public works, and bring back a recommendation on these things. And let's have two. Let's have one to address this anomaly, and let's have a potential policy change that needs to take place. We have it in the policy manual right now at the discretion of the board, and we don't need to change that to affect this one. But I think that's a good recommendation in the future, that it opens up, you know, the opportunities to say when FEMA's declaring an emergency, even if the board doesn't, we need to have that addressed. So I don't know who to task to facilitate that, but I think that's important conversation that we can't necessarily have here because it impacts employees. And if you're going to start talking about those kinds of things specifically, and if you ever bring up, you know, performance, that's a protected conversation. So I don't want to get into that mess.
That's not the discussion to have, but you're right. And as far as the department heads talking about how are we impacted, what all events potentially, how often are these ones that they can't be planned for no matter how much you know, if you look at Katrina, they had people just walk off the jobs. It was like, I'm sorry, there's no amount of compensation that's worth this disaster. There's others that stood by their job and worked beyond what was able to be asked of individuals. And in those circumstances, who knows the caliber of people we'll have and how that respond. What I've seen so far is we have some pretty amazing people. But that aside, putting the policy in place when it's not about the people needs to be appropriate.
True.
So I'd be happy to email and convene a group for that to have the discussion, Arthur, to be, unless you guys want somebody else to do that.
I just caution that we just keep providing more and more and more. Before there was any such thing as emergency management 25 years ago, what do we do then? I mean, if we created a level of government that is moving pigs and chickens and cows and providing...
We used all volunteers for that.
Hotels, huh?
We used all volunteers for the animals.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
But it is something that... Is it something... What did they do about them years ago? They just let them burn up the fire? Or they go moving themselves?
So remember that this county loves animals more than any other topic.
I'm just asking a question. Because this thing continues to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I've just left a department as the city council that when we said you have so many overtime hours, we want to hire people. We want to hire police officers to cut down on it because, you know, we realize that overtime is part of, oh, gee, I'm so stressed out. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do, PTSD. So let's take care of that by hiring more police officers. And the police union said, no. No, I use that overtime money. It's there. I'm going to sit down and have a long conversation with Herman Beartrager about this whole fire situation. He has one word that comes up every time. Money. Is this thing gotten so big that we cannot say, no, we're not going to do that anymore? We mentioned reimbursement, and I think Arthur and I had a little conversation about it. So we've got this humongous amount of overtime. If everybody that we're talking about that really went over and above their 40 hours a week, and they document all of that and say, I want to be paid for that, So we paid for that. Do we get that back from FEMA? It sounds like we never did declare as a board an emergency.
No, it was a FEMA emergency. So, yes, we get 75% back from FEMA.
75%. The 25% comes from?
Well, in some position, in this case, Jackson County can be billed the 25% for Sarah's time. So sheriff's office eats it on the overtime, the other 25%. But let me, he's getting it no matter what. He is a union employee who gets that overtime no matter what.
And, you know, we're getting
so, but we can
part,
get reimbursed for 75% of his.
What I'm saying is that it just keeps getting bigger and bigger
so
and bigger.
You don't know about it, Commissioner DeYoung. I don't have the patience. I apologize.
Yeah.
You've got to come with something.
Yeah.
So just say no, and that's cool.
Yeah.
We go with that. But I got to have something because I feel the same way. My family, totally resilient. They don't need anything. There are people out here who expect something. You got to bridge that gap. That's your job. You say where it is and how it needs to be, and we'll go with that. But I can't. We got to figure it out. What's next? So I
those
totally
are just my concerns.
I get them. I'm right there.
I'm hearing the concerns about, you know, what all people did and that they need to be compensated for.
So just say no.
Then where is it going to come from?
So just say no. We know, 75% potentially.
Not potentially.
Until I see it with FEMA, 75% potentially, 25% potentially. I haven't heard
that. In past years, they sit down with all the department heads that incurred costs related to it, and each department bills FEMA, gets 75% back. The rest is just out of their budgets. We have the one exception that with the one department, because of the agreement with Jackson County, the other 25%, because the amount of work done with Jackson County as well, could be billed for the 25%.
Okay.
So there'd be zero impact on ours.
Those are what I want to see. I want to see the numbers.
What's we don't have the numbers yet. I can show you the numbers on one employee, but the other ones, we're just paying out until the end of the season is over. And we gather the numbers, and Arthur's usually a part of that process where they sit down at the department heads impacted, they calculate the hours and expenses, they submit that individually as each department submits to FEMA and gets reimbursed. But the question comes up about department heads that are doing above what their normal duties are, above what the, you know, that kind of stuff, so.
Okay, we'll have that discussion. I just a concern.
It's a very valid concern.
Mm-hmm. I had, so this afternoon, I just want to, are we on, still on matters?
Yes.
Because we can approve, I'd make a motion to approve the plat if we need to.
Approve the what?
The plat map for Princeton Bend subdivision.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
I'll second that.
All those favors. Aye.
Is there ever a time we don't approve them?
No. Well, if everybody signed it, then we really kind of have to. I don't know. You just want to make sure Connie's signature is on there and stuff like that, because if they say, you know, but you'd know.
Okay.
Connie will let you know. She'll be sitting out there. It's like, I wouldn't sign this. There's something amiss.
Something amiss, yeah.
If Peter Allen doesn't service this, so.
And you do go back to that, because when Marty Bauer had the culvert replacement out there, we had to go back to the original plat. Who approved that?
Yeah.
And what was their wording on the approval?
Well, it's real important.
And boy, it was very important, because, you know, I said, oh, yeah, I want this culvert. Oh, it's yours. No, it's not.
Board doesn't. We're not.
There was a stipulation there that the county would take that over, that system over out there, infrastructure system, when it was to county standard. It never got there.
Yeah.
That was up to those folks
to bring it to
that.
County standard.
So that was what we hit on. I went clear back to find that. That's what is important. But there's a motion a second on the floor. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes 3-0. Okay. Anything else?
I wanted it. There was a request, I believe, you referred to having smart meters on the weekly business session.
Oh, yeah, they offered to do a presentation next week.
Typically what the board has done, like we did with the solid waste stuff, is they'll come in. The issue for this is it's highly controversial, in my opinion. If we don't have like a board-endorsed strategy with presentations that are seemingly controversial, they should not go to the weekly business session without the board approving it. And
well,
I know
they're
trying to do that.
No, I'm sorry.
But the goal would be for me is that if it is controversial, And maybe we find, you know, the balanced, the opposition's opportunity, and if they present for 10 minutes, then sometimes we've afforded the opposition to do it. Or we have a presentation in here on the smart meters thing. It says, this is the stuff that needs to go once we've endorsed a letter of support, or we've, or the petition against comes in and we say, we're signing a letter in opposition to this, then they have, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess from my perspective, we got a utility that impacts the whole community. So doing a presentation at the weekly business session where it's televised, where the whole community can get the information of the utility, was kind of thing. They asked if they can do a presentation Thursday or Friday.
What I don't want is it construed that we have endorsed this smart meeting proposal because we put a presentation together and there's no balance of perspective.
I hear you. If you wanted at a Thursday meeting not televised.
I don't know. I just want us to have that discussion.
I'd rather have them come to here.
They're coming into town next week. Asked if they can do a presentation on Thursday or Friday. I said Friday is generally not a good day to do a presentation. Thursday, I don't know what the calendar is. And I said, what about Wednesday weekly business session that's televised? That way the information gets to all the community, or available to the whole community.
So what I would recommend is that you bring it to the board and see what we want to do and then give it
okay.
to them.
My apologies, because I had asked it. They said they wanted to come do a presentation.
I think they should.
I'd rather be in this room where I can just ask questions.
Because
I don't know how it works either.
If they want to do a community presentation, then maybe we do it at the fairgrounds, where they do their own town hall in the evening at the Ambassador, which we could certainly facilitate. But then there's that the degree of separation that it's not interrupting our board meeting.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So that there's a strategy behind the right way to do
that. So you'll line that up? You've been in contact with them?
Well, they reached out to me. I forwarded it to staff to say coordinate it, get it scheduled.
Okay.
So
we want them to bring a presentation to the board first?
I wouldn't mind seeing it, because I think we all have been inundated with the other side, the perspective that this is not a good thing. And so we just need to tread lightly with this. It is not our issue. We don't have, there's a public utility commission that governs these things, and appointed by the governor.
They
never asked me who should be on that.
Let me ask our jurisdiction. Can we say no smart meters in Josephine County?
I don't know. I doubt that.
I mean, it may be a moot point that we weigh in one way or the other because it comes from the Public Utilities Commission.
They didn't ask us. There was an opportunity to submit comments, I think.
Well, that's,
typically there is.
There's all kinds of opportunities to put comments in on a lot of things. They checked the box for yes comment. Yeah, I did.
And I haven't received a petition to do such a thing, but I've just heard people saying that...
We've all received an email with suggested petition language.
And I've understood that maybe Jackson County is doing something. Is it like a play?
It's a resolution.
No, I mean, smart meters.
No, it's as they're coming through different communities. Those communities have reached out. We're getting them next. I think for me is because we are getting people saying this, part of it at a weekly business session is other people could comment in the general comment, and that those questions that we've been asked, we can ask that company specifically in public in a way that is getting those answers answered to television land so they can see those answers.
We could televise a town hall if they wanted to host one.
Okay, so that's how your recommendation.
I would like a degree of separation. This doesn't feel like... Part of the reason that I don't want the public getting the impression like they're coming like the Solid Waste Agency, which is a franchise of the county, and asking permission for that 6% increase, they have to ask for that.
Got it.
Pacific Power doesn't have to ask me, this board, or anything.
That's what I mean. I think I don't want the public to get the impression that we can stop something that we can't.
Exactly. Why did you let this happen?
Thursday would be a better admin meeting next week or something.
Yeah, rather than us be the host or whatever you want to call it.
It's then the Pacific Power isn't the bad guy. It's us.
That's right.
Are we
just a pilot program in Oregon, or is this happening all over Oregon?
I think they're going to be able to answer that. So let's have them in here Thursday. Yeah. Maybe at 11?
Medford, that smart meter's going in.
Yeah.
11 o'clock on Thursday is him.
Okay.
So unless you want him at the end of admin.
It's free on my schedule. No, I'm kidding. We just did it 5 minutes ago.
How's Thursday afternoon look?
Not good. We have a friend's open house unless we did it like at 3 o'clock.
That's right, we do.
I'd gladly defer my presentation there.
You're ready, aren't
good.
You?
For the good. Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
You're ready. No, I want that sooner. Oh, there it is. I want that sooner rather than later. It's important that we have a, you know.
So are you crowding overtime?
Let's have staff figure out.
Are you burned on the department heads?
I'm working.
Is that okay, Ricky? We're going to have you and Wendy get a hold of Christina, figure out when they can get in here and do a presentation.
The second thing that I have was this afternoon's agenda item is a little challenging for me to make it. I've got an appointment, but it wasn't on my calendar, and I could probably make it. The subject matter is what I'm concerned about. I think it has to do with building and safety or planning, and I'm not aware of it. And I don't like going into a meeting where I'm not really presented with kind of any kind of background, and it being in my wheelhouse as liaison. I don't know that the planning director was invited, and I did invite her today.
I asked staff to make sure she was invited. Okay. So John West's presentation about public works was a first for me in that capacity. I had a different citizen have some concerns that they wanted to present to the board. I suggested they make an appointment with our staff the same as that was afforded him.
I think he met with the liaison, and it was brought to the board through the liaison from a public works perspective. Or if it was from a planning perspective, yeah, I brought it. But the liaison to the program said it was at that, you know, the first way I would do about it is
John West met with you before having that meeting. He didn't meet with Dan and I.
I don't remember what it was regarding. Was about it public works? Or
it was public works.
Okay.
So in this case, it was...
I think he met with Commissioner DeYoung as well.
Oh, he did? So okay. He told me he had met with you.
He made the rounds.
Okay. Is that true to 2 o'clock?
The 2 o'clock is Craig Dent, who asked to bring some things to our attention. He's a local contractor who thought some things should be brought to our attention.
And I would recommend that historically we've said, have you been to the manager?
He said he had talked to the manager. He said he had talked
to
previous liaison. And you.
I don't believe I've spoken to him. If I have.
Oh, he told me he had. And I just said, well, we had another citizen come and bring something before the board. You can ask to be scheduled for the full board. So he came and scheduled in the front office to present something to us. And It was one of those things that
it seems like Dent would just
he wants to make a recommendation
Dent
for helping
off of that man would just ring a bell.
It's either Yonser or Valerian Homes.
So Dent would make an impression.
Yonser or Valerian Homes or one of those kind of companies that he works for.
He works for Valerian.
Okay.
From the automotive industry.
So it was scheduled through the front office and. So, as an opportunity.
Okay, so let's just hear him this afternoon. Does that sound okay?
There's a chance I won't be here. So, I can't guarantee this appointment. My other one might run long. So, but it doesn't sound as though it's looking for a decision. It's not an appeal of a denial of the planning department.
No, it's recommendations of things the department can improve upon that they thought we should be aware of.
Good that Mark and Julie. They had not heard about it, so
okay.
I had
asked that they when the schedule was made, I had asked that.
Well, let's go ahead with it. It's scheduled. It's noticed. Let's just do it today.
What I'm recommending is that we refer, if it's outside of our liaisonship, that we just refer it and said, have you met with the liaison? I recommend that person. If you're not met with any kind of, you know, not the reception you're looking for, then we'll bring it to the full board. But you got to check.
Okay, so
and he had said he had, so that's why.
Yeah.
Okay. And I had tried not to get into a lot of details. I just said, make an appointment and we will.
So where do we stand? Is Mr. Dent coming in this afternoon?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
To talk to you and I. You may not be here.
No, that's fine.
And then we'll go from there. Okay, we'll see what he has to say.
Great.
Anything else for matters?
I would like to know, so DEQ and ODF are gathering information on what their smoke policy should be. And I'm wondering, should we be taking this to AOC to be giving feedback? Is this something we should be writing a letter as a board as far as what we believe the recommendations would be, how wildland fires are not subject to DEQ limitations of smoke, yet the slash burning and stuff in the wintertime, that's the preventative measures are. So they're highly restricted in what they could do in the preventative measures, yet the box burning is allowed without any recourse and the burning that they're doing. So would we like to put a letter together from us subjecting opinion to ODF and DEQ weighing in on the topic?
I would say yes, but I don't think it's going to do any good. This folk here, they love it. They just, this is continuation of a job for them. That's never going to go away. This is our norm now. I think this is going to be the norm. They're not interested in any kind of policy going forward and front loading anything, because this right here looks good to some people. That's sad. Hate to say it. Hard. It's a terrible way to make money. Absolutely.
Well, if we don't weigh in, the question comes, and I, you know, they say, well, when we were asking for feedback, what did you give us?
So. I'm not against putting together a letter to let them know that we're in the room and that we're in the smoke. We're here. And you're writing to people that aren't in the smoke, and they get up every day and see blue skies and birds tweeting and the crickets at night, and we don't. And they could really care less. Not affecting him. It's not in my backyard. Yep. Glad we got the letter. Yeah, we got your letter. Check that box. Get a letter from Gilstein County. Yep, we did. But it's important to us, especially as sitting here at the board, I think we should write a letter.
Or a recommendation. I mean, you had mentioned maybe inviting them down and actually having a meeting down here.
I was thinking of like an after action of really
critique.
Kind of It just figuring out, okay, so is there a validity to the idea that ODF was approached by a logging company, a timber company that had the capacity? Can you just figure, can you tell us what actually happened there, ODF, if they know, you know, like putting the BLM, the U.S. Forest Service, you know, Merv George, and
Elizabeth?
Yes, Burkhardt. In the room with Larson and Dave, you know, let's just put them in the room and talk about it and see what can we do better next time. Well, out of this meeting, we'll come out with a letter to the DEQ that there needs to be something on smoke, something to the U.S. Forest Service that roads and infrastructure need to be maintained or blah, blah, blah. I mean, there could be half a dozen issues. We have not done this. I don't know. I think they did something like this after the biscuit. Sarah would probably know. But there should be policy things that these agencies can recommend for us to advocate for at AOC, at NACO, on our own. And I wouldn't put that off. I mean, I know everybody's probably trying to take a breath of fresh air, but every breath they're probably going to, well, that one will be fine.
Yep,
it won't be
over.
That bad
it's
next
over.
Time.
It's not going to come back again.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Isolated instance. Don't worry about it.
And we can't miss it as an opportunity to try to affect real change. The National Guard coming in here and not really, you know, asking for, like you were saying,
and
we're
one word.
The best team, right?
One
the
word.
The right kind.
And nobody told us, no, you need this.
Yes. So we need to put that all down.
Oh, we were told, yeah, you don't want TAPs, you need TCPs, but you only asked for TAPs, so that's what you got.
Before... Yeah. You'll blink twice and you'll be gone out of here and your next group of commissioners will not know.
Yeah.
They will forget. Sarah will be moved on. Arthur will be retired with a martini on the or a Mai Tai on the beach somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the next group, you know, ask for the wrong team. Those are the things that we need to
don't really have these drink.
Because these fires, they're not going to end tomorrow.
Okay, so Commissioner Morgan, you want to lead that up because you've been on the ground. You are the boots on the ground for that.
I'd be happy to get a meeting convened for us.
Okay. Anything else? Commissioner Morgan?
Sarah had sent out something looking for feedback from you guys. HR had told her that the board wanted to be a part of the final decision for the assistant manager position, so she was trying to do a last interview with us involved. And
I agreed to her.
You responded. Had you seen her email?
We talked it yesterday.
Okay. So she just wanted to make sure she had the board's blessing to get things scheduled.
This is an interesting thing. We don't we don't make the final decision in the hiring of any other assistant, but this assistant is a surrogate for the director of emergency management and will be, you know, our person. I think it's an exception, so the board really should have a greater play in how this decision is made, but I only see it as being the decision of four people, the manager and the board.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else, anybody else
is advising
into
that,
is making a recommendation. But that's it. And that's really how it should always be, because at the end of the day, you don't, I don't want to be able to point to anybody else and say, well, they messed up, that was a bad decision. No, I like hiring every single manager and making that final decision, because otherwise I can't take responsibility for it if I didn't make that decision.
Now, we're not hiring a manager, we're hiring an assistant.
We are, and that's what I just was explaining. This is different. This person is the manager for a fair amount of the time when the other one is out. And the gravity of that decision, how much it works with the board, is pretty important to me. You know, and it's laid out in our emergency operations plan of the hierarchy of administration. We don't really have that codified for the airport, maybe Public Works is an emergency operations plan that way, but it's different in this program as I see it.
Okay.
And we're already doing that. I'm just kind of explaining exactly why I think the board should, because normally we would not be at the table for an assistant in a program. That's why I think we are here.
Anything else?
Is that how she described it? Did she clarify, or do we need to provide clarity?
She was just wanting to make sure she heard from all three whether it's okay for her to go forward.
Yeah.
And she's heard back from you, and so you've talked to her in person.
I told her, I said, I want it written down as exactly what she wants to do, so we have it.
Yep.
So it's not, she didn't say one thing to you, one thing to you, one thing to me. Let's just get your plan, how you want to do it, and put it down, and we'll say yes or no to it, or make changes.
That was good. I got to run.
All right.
Okay. With that, we are adjourned at 10:51. Thank you.